Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming.
With tonight's guest, comedian, actor, and writer, Rick Overton.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Corey Pesatoro and Matthias Metzka. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
What a show this has been, and we haven't even started yet. I mean, already the energy in this room, in the studio, in the foyer, before we even got into the studio, and the excitement around having all of these amazing people in the studio with us, starting with, of course, Rick Overton. And it's interesting because, you know, growing up, I always had a fondness for comedy. Actually, our whole family did. But growing up European-American, let's say, it's Italian-American, but we, even though we were in America, we were exposed to movies that we used to gather to see that weren't available on TV or weren't available in theaters. But somehow the Italian community or my dad, we'd get them and we'd watch them and we'd be exposed to things that other kids wouldn't be exposed to. My dad taught Italian for the Defense Language Institute, and we'd be invited to the Defense Language Institute on specific days because we were related to my father who taught there, and we'd get to know the German professor and the there were more than one, and the Russian professors and the Iranian professors, and so with the Hungarian ones, these were our friends, and most of the people had no exposure to this. And so one of the things that connected all of us, it seemed, was humor. We all wanted to laugh, or we all wanted to dance or make music. And so they'd have a show on these special days where everybody would come and they would present their music and present their form of physical comedy, since we didn't understand the language. And that's how we would be entertained. And as kids, this is how I grew up. And I remember listening to LPs of Italian comedians and Neapolitan comedians, which in Italy, that's like two different countries, and Sicilian comedians. And I'd listen to them and my parents would laugh and we would try and understand. And at first we couldn't. So we would ask our parents to explain, and they would. And it's interesting that a lot of the humor was political humor. And it was making fun of themselves and the culture and what the government was doing and what the government should do and how it should be. And little by little, through that humor, we got to know a little bit about what was going on in Italy, so that when we went to Italy, we got to see some of the things that the comedians were laughing about actually take place in front of our eyes. Well, the interesting thing about that is that our American friends, our American counterparts who were just American, unfortunately, they could have been exposed to so much of the same thing. They might not have understood the language, but they could have been exposed. And also, when we looked at the American comedians, they weren't providing us with that. Very few were providing us with that intelligent kind of humor, although I love every kind of humor, from poop jokes to whatever, to really intelligent humor. I got Rick laughing. Okay, well, I'm done. I got the comedian.
Poop jokes.
So, that's a whole category.
But
it?
I did.
It's a poop joke tour. Yeah, right.
See? But I had a point. My point was this. So as I grew older, this was the kind of thing I would gravitate to. And I came to know a comedian, Beppe Grillo. He's an Italian comedian. And I think when he came to my attention as an adult again, a friend of mine said, "Have you seen what Beppe Grillo does? You'd be interested in him as Mr. Life Changes." And I said, "He's a comedian." He said, "Well, funny thing is he started out as a comedian. And then he started talking more and more about politics and the government. And so the major network shut him down and took him off TV. And I said, and so now, and he said, now he's not only talking about the government and politics, he's talking about GMO, and he's talking about pharmaceuticals, and he's talking about, and I said, and who is listening? He said, the world. And I said, really? The world is listening to an Italian comedian? He says, yeah, look at this. And he showed me a video on YouTube, and it was an Italian, it was Beppe Grillo speaking Italian, and he had a stadium full of people. And he was telling it all, he was telling all this stuff, GMOs and the pharmaceuticals, and do you believe in tumors and cancer? It's not this, it's not that. And I said, okay, well, all of those Italians are in that big stadium listening to him. That's great. But it's just Italy. He's like, no, Filippo, he started a blog. And that blog has gone international to the point where I was looking him up in 2008, according to, let me see, I actually pulled up the statistics today because I'm thinking, no, really? In 2008, he was the number one blog in the world. People were downloading his stuff and translating it into all different kinds of languages. His was the number one blog in the world in 2008. In 2009, Forbes said that he was in Forbes and he was on the list as a top in there as well. Time Magazine, I'm looking at it right now, number one. 2008. Now, I don't know where it's gone since. In 2009, he was number nine. On whose blog was this? I don't see it now. Oh, that was Forbes. So anyway, it was in Japanese. It was in German. It was in English. It was in Spanish. I have a feeling, and I said this to our guest, Rick Overton, recently. I said that he will be that voice for America and then for the world. And he already speaks English. And he already writes in English. And so I'm excited because I am feeling like there is this time, especially with people like Bernie Sanders coming out and telling it like it is and people getting upset with this and that. And it's like, really, enough of this craziness. And I feel like something's happening. And it's happening right now, and it's happening here on the Life Changes Show when we come back with our guest, Rick Overton, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our guest is not a stranger to many who have been following good comedy. Rick Overton has starred in numerous HBO and Showtime specials and has had countless, literally countless, TV stand-up appearances. He's also been on Seinfeld and he's been on The Office. The list goes on. He's been
Groundhog Day.
Yes, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
A bad teacher.
But very spiritual Groundhog Day. It's a spiritual thing. It's about
actually
redemption.
True.
Reincarnation and redemption.
That's right. Well, he's here. He needs no further introduction. Welcome, Rick, to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on. It's an honor.
Glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Honor is ours. And have been talking about this for a long time. I really should say Emmy Award winner, don't you think? I mean, for writing for the HBO's Dennis Miller Live. I mean,
it was a fun time.
Yeah,
it was great.
And Dennis Miller. I mean, that's political-ish.
Absolutely.
Ish.
Oh yeah, especially then, particularly back then, it was it was sort of covering the territory no one else touched. It formatted what lots of other folks have done since. Some version of that layout. He's the one who got it started.
I think I know some of the folks you're talking about. So let's start with something like let's go way back. I talked about when I was a kid. When you were a kid, your mom was doing something fun and your dad was doing something fun, and it was all somehow that had to affect you. Your mom was singing.
Mom was one of the Cordettes, Lollipop, Mr. Sandman. She wasn't in the recording version. She was on the road because one of the gals got pregnant, couldn't go on the road and fit in the gown. So Mom stepped in and stayed a Cordette after that.
Wow.
Until my brother was born, at which point she had to stay home for the two of us. So that's the way it worked.
And your dad?
My dad arranged for Thelonious Monk. So
wow.
I was around art, and I was around comedy, and I was around improvisation pretty much my whole life.
Hmm. Sure. Absolutely. And that had a little effect on you.
Well, certainly exploring everything that improv is really about, and I think it's about way more than it's given credit for what it does for the human brain, you know. Hmm. The part of it that opens up to save your life in the sort of, you know, they toss you into the water with a suggestion, and your subconscious forces you to sort of become a little bit intuitive to survive it. And when you watch an entire group of improvisers all turning out these beautiful scenes where everyone knows exactly what to say and where it all goes, I think that's the human version of the same cloud of collective unconsciousness that Jung would talk about that makes a flock of birds all shift left and turn right at once.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're more complex, so it comes out with words and little playlets and things, you know.
Yeah. And those people have tools in order to be able to do that, and they work hard in the tools of improv. And I wish you were around. You probably would have given me the idea to develop the Life Improvement Workshop, but you weren't around to help me develop it. But now that I've developed it, and now that we've built it with Mark and grown with Dinah and all that, now you're going to come around and you're going to be our first featured improv comedian at the very first Improvement Workshop.
That's it.
Life Improvement Workshop. So we'll talk more about it later. That's September the 26th. More information, 2015, more information on our website at lifechangesshow.com. In the meantime, though, your first comedy was when and how?
Listening to Dad play Jonathan Winters and Bob Newhart records because he loved them. And that's why I know Robin Williams, is because he also loved Jonathan Winters so much. And we bonded in the 70s over having a mutual love for Jonathan.
Jonathan, wow.
We had that to start the agreement with and on from there.
Wow. And not
Dad
always.
Dad loved him. Dad just thought he's great because Jonathan did with words and characters what Dad did with music on the piano when he was the arranger for Thelonious Monk. Mm. You know, he came out of a musical language where I would watch them jamming and they would play little weird things to each other that make each other laugh. And this is like watching dolphins talk. You can't understand the exact words, but you can see they're talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that sort of occurred to me at that point. Improv is its own little field.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate place where you get to go. And if it all clicks and you're in harmony with it, it has this kind of joy to it that's like you went to heaven without dying.
Mm.
And a lot of artists, they wreck their lives getting that fake heaven down the gullet for the other 23 hours, you know?
Sure.
They went to real heaven, and then the fake one will send you to heaven.
Certainly, that's a really good point. There's a key there, knowing how to sustain that throughout our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all have our ups and downs, but those downs can be doozies, especially for people like yourself who have experienced major audiences and major publicity and major fame and all that. And then there are the days when you don't want that right now.
Sure.
Or there are the days where you're not getting it right now. And that happens to everybody. And
I think that statement that you just made, you know, that going to heaven is huge, because that's where improv lives, in that connectedness. Right?
Yeah.
It's that moment of
give
of
anything, get back
beyond there. You can't think that fast. You get into that space, into that zone.
Yeah.
And
the dog has to go back
to running as fast as he can from leaving his head hanging out the car window on the freeway. That's what improv is like. Your tongue is just flapping you on the side of the face. And then back to just running. And I'm out of breath, and I'm just halfway across the yard, you know. And it's so...
Poor dog.
Yeah, poor dog. Back on all four again, huh? Yeah, it's a different ride now.
Yeah, this is where we need some music back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But, wow.
Improv is like that. It's very exhilarating and adrenal. And it reminds you of your younger self when everything was at improv because you didn't know anything yet. So everything had, that's sort of like time travel to your youth with it, too. There's a game we play called Set List that Paul Provenza produces and Troy Conrad came up with. And it's a game where they project your topics to you off to one side for stand-up, cold, in front of an audience waiting to see what you're going to say next. And yes, it's terrifying if you don't know how to log on. It's terrifying as
hell.
Wait,
can you see the topic?
Yeah,
look at it and then you go.
You turn and talk to the audience and just trust that whatever comes out of your mouth is like in the Matrix, Tank, teach me how to fly a helicopter. I'm walking into one right now.
Wow, yeah.
And you get it that fast. It's the audacity to ask. That's what ask and ye shall receive really is. It's just the balls to ask for something really cool and think you deserve it. And so much of religion is to train you out of asking for the bigger data line. The higher speed data, which is all I think it all really is. When you watch people communicating on stage, it isn't just poker tells. They're going, there's the fake psychic that just reads your eyes and does your NLP. But the real one is just no frickin' way they could know this. Yeah. There's no way everyone and every position all saying the same key and the same word when they're improvising a song. Yeah. There's just no way that could have happened unless they were logged on.
Yeah.
And so that's the process of logging on. It's like a countless XM stations. You can twist the dial. And that's what your different requests are. And for every request, there is a station.
I'm sitting here marveling because I am familiar with your comedy. And I have enjoyed it for years. Yet now, and I can't wait to see one of your new shows. Though you've always talked about... politics, like I was saying about Beppe Grillo, you've always talked about politics. You always talk about bigger things than just, dare I say, poop jokes. But nowadays, it's like we called this show, we titled the show in honor of you. Mark came up with it. Stand up for a cause. Right. And so here you are. You are doing stand up and it's for the biggest cause of all.
Yeah.
I
love my species. They pay all my bills.
Okay.
I don't get one damn bill paid with another species. Though, yes. Actually, yes, there's a lot of bipeds that aren't human. But yes, there's a few of them paid a few things, but we've paid for that too. So
When we come back, this is what I want to talk about. And it's interesting because you and I were having a conversation and we were talking about talk points for today. And you wrote me this. I want to talk about the mindset of people in the world right now. This is not something I know of any other comedian doing right now. I mean, to actually say this is like my mission statement on the show today. And not just now, in America, the heart and mood of the nation. I think there couldn't be a better time to be talking about this. And I look forward to talking about it with our guest, Rick Overton. And a little later on, great music from friend Corey Pezzaturo and Matthias Metzger. All on the Life Changes Show, right here.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. Our guest is comedian, actor, writer, Rick Overton. And I hope when I said, "I want to talk about the mindset," I hope I didn't sound like Nixon. I felt like I was like, "I want
to talk." Like Kennedy, man.
Kennedy?
I want to talk about.
That's right. I wasn't.
Two different tones there.
I wasn't born yet. I just got it off of
well,
YouTube.
I was
there. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
I was.
We need TV for this because he just shape-shifted into both of them.
Exactly. How did you do that?
I didn't know you did that. Studying David Fry as a kid, you know. He had Nixon down. Showing my age. Anyway.
So why did this become an important topic to you? Because I have to say, you were on the top with the top. And as soon as you started going more political and people were starting to tell you don't do it, and you said,
"Yeah, but I was saying, what about Carlin, you know? Man, he's like, he's doing good and he says it. And what about, you know?" And I said, "Lenny." And they said, "Yeah, Lenny's dead." They ran him out of town and Carlin got arrested.
And Carlin was kind of like a crazy old man type back then.
He was brilliant. There was never a point when he wasn't absolutely accurate and coded.
No, I meant like, you know, people could say, "Oh yeah, he's," but you were younger and people weren't expecting that from you.
Maybe. I think that might have been part of it. And some of the stuff I was saying, maybe it wasn't time to say it the way I said it yet, but that's just the order it went in. And it seems like everything I have a special I did in 1991 for HBO. That was just we're not even into the first Gulf War yet, and it's interesting. I called a bunch of stuff in that special, my half hour one night stand from HBO, and it's all on YouTube in sections and broken up, and you can see it and see all the stuff I was talking about, and like, oh well, you know, I was just having a little fun back then, but maybe I was like talking about the real thing. And so a lot of late night doors kind of dried up and closed on me, just as, you know, PNAC was rolling in, Project for a New American Century. And so it sort of encouraged,
under his breath.
It encouraged me to look into more acting and writing and stuff. And so that's why I have an Emmy. It's why I'm an actor. Everything that which does not kill you actually can technically make you stronger. It did. I know how to do more things because of it. It's a pity they don't believe in evolution because it's gotten me ahead. I think you're better off believing in it than not believing in it.
That's great.
I'm sorry. Go on.
If you believe you can evolve, you will. If you don't believe in it, you won't. So, yeah. And everyone's sold with the software, but like Quicken, nobody uses it on their laptop, you know. There's tons of crap on our laptops we don't use.
True.
We mostly don't use it for everything it can do.
True that.
And a human's like that, too.
True that. True that. So, Rick, what do you think is the mood of the nation?
I think the mood of the nation is we're tired of being told by a big TV set how everything works. and we are using lit screens, and they're saying the revolution won't be televised. Hey, I hate to tell you, it was on little screens, and you missed it. It's already happened. Mm. It already occurred. It's already too late. The toothing in the very precisely and finely engineered clockwork of sinister design has been jumped two or three teeth already forward, and a clock cannot hold when it's been jumped one tooth. It looks okay for the first couple hours, but it's rocking every axle off of its spline. It's slowly rounding it all off, and then the spring blows out, and we're watching the spring blow out. That's what every panicking move on the right is right now. All these desperate clawing at driftwood kind of gestures they're doing right now is we're watching something die. And some of the Democrat scene should probably die with it, because they're all bought by the same groups. Wow. It's finally coming down to the terminology. Hey, government, government. No, no. When you're blaming a government person, you're blaming the front desk receptionist.
Oh?
Yeah. When you're mad at a politician, you're mad at someone bought by something much larger. You're fighting with the dragon's claws, which is stupid. Don't fight with the dragon's claws. Fight with its head.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get killed fighting with its claws. You got a chance fighting with its head. And go straight to the problem. And the problem is corporations. And so, you know, I think now because of the internet. And here's the most interesting thing.
And so now I've said it.
The internet is the age of Aquarius. I mean, if you want to look at it, and I see things in kind of blueprinty technical terms, like science-y, geeky terms.
I see that.
But I see metaphysics as physics that we may one day just blueprint. We may know how to draw it out and show kids one day in school.
Oh.
It's just that religions are structured now to not show us how that works, because a religion is a fake version of spirituality as a placeholder, like a paperweight to keep you in one spot, so you never really explore everything that they're supposedly talking about. But I'm telling you what God is, and don't you ask anything more.
Well, and the religions have their own metaphysical manuscripts that don't get shared down throughout the religion.
Oh, yeah, so. Mormons and all that stuff, you know, Book of Mormon. But all of that structure is falling away because the ones that control the narrative, the MSM, are disintegrating now. They're being circumvented by this Aquarian river of ones and zeros that's wiping out all of the authority they once had, and comedians played a pretty tasty role in it. I have to say Jon Stewart, George Carlin, Stephen Colbert, Louis Black, Bill Hicks, a lot of guys nibbled away like termites at the legs of their table, and everything is just sliding off one side now. Mm-hmm. They've taken them out. Their authority is gone, and the whole point was to absolutely 100% control the narrative. And the whole point, after Vietnam, they went, oh, my God, we cannot let news run free ever again. It canceled a war on us. It got one of our presidents fired. We can't ever do that again. We have to go back and make sure we own the narrative. And they can't on the web. They only can with stuffed shirt and fake suit reporters on the regular news, but they can't on the web. They can't control the news. And the way to tell when news is likely more honest and is when there's not a giant sponsor behind it corrupting it.
Mm.
I mean, that's a... who can't follow that money? You have to not want to follow the money to miss that. So
you posted something on Facebook. Was it a couple of days? People, you want to follow Rick on Facebook, go to facebook.com/overview with Rick Overton. That's facebook.com/overview with Rick Overton.
And that's my podcast. And I got some wonderful guests. I got Jonathan Winters' last interview.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I didn't know it was the last one at the time. I was planning on more, but it wound up being that.
Oh, wow. From loving him as a child. That's...
From the childhood to the full Zen circle to being with him towards the end. I can't describe to you how important that is. And then to form a brotherhood with another actor who is so close to him, too, you know.
Yeah,
it's a
Robin
rare
Williams.
And wonderful thing.
Sure,
remarkable.
Yeah.
Lucky break, all of it.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, I've seen some pictures, actually, of you and Robin Williams, and on stage even,
yeah.
And then hugging each other like an award ceremony, and
like
it was
family.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, look like brothers. So, So we you know, gosh, where does one go with this? So we're talking about the mood of the nation, and you know, actually, maybe best we take a break, and when we come back, it's this. We're talking about America, but we're also talking about the world, and what America, especially nowadays, what America is experiencing, is being experienced in the world, and vice versa, just at different times.
Can I just say one thing? That this device here, this cell phone in my hand that I used to mock and make fun of because I thought, hey, it disconnected all the hippies. We used to hold hands, and together we united, and we could stop wars and fire presidents and all of that, you know. And then we got disunited, and everyone broke away, and they're all just looking down, and they're all just typing away. But then I had to have another look at this and really, really think it out. And the other side of this coin is that without this cell phone, this complete production facility at everyone's hip, we would never have heard of the word Ferguson. You'd never have heard about all the people being shot, all the dogs being shot. You never would have heard about all these other videos coming out, all the politicians saying all these horrible things. You would never see it on the news. And it's making everyone not use the regular news.
Interesting.
Big Brother is being wiped out
equalizer.
By Little Brother.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Little Brother's kicking Big Brother's ass. And and as this grows, it grows in an exponential. There just aren't enough bad people to stop it at the rate everyone's connecting. They're running out of bad people. Sociopaths are on the run. There's a term for them now. There never used to be. They can be spotted and ID'd like a barcode now. There's books out about them. And there's, you know, the smart socios are trying to get human and fast and contact me. I will show you. And because I'm in comedy business, I've been surrounded by them my whole life. And so, yeah, and we're watching a sort of forced digital bid for evolution to occur, and ASAP. And the ones that don't make it are not doing good. You'll go shoot a lion, you think you're the badass king, and now you're hiding, you're on the run. He has nowhere to turn. No one wants anything to do with this pariah anymore. Yeah. And in the flip of a dime, this all occurred. That's the speed at which this new light and wind is blowing into the good sails, man. The boat's finally turned around. And you can see it. Bad doesn't work anymore. It's like the coyote bought all the bad from Acme. Oh, the evil's just dropping them off the end of the cliff now.
What generations would you have to be to get that one?
YouTube or Nick at yeah. Night. I don't know. God,
go watch
I
it.
Am showing my age. These are my references, everybody. But gather around. It's good info.
it's great, actually. Well, I got it. And Mark got it. You know, when we come back, so much of what you talk about can't be easy. I don't know because I'm not you, but you make it funny, and yet I know it can't be funny to you. And so there's this dichotomy. So when we come back, I kind of want to know about that, like how we can and why it is actually important for us to laugh about all of this. So all of when we come back with our guest, Rick Overton, and again, a little later on, fun music with friend Corey Pezzaturo and Matias Metzke.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. We're having a brilliant and funny conversation with Rick Overton, and actually comedian, actor, writer. And that's the thing, is that some of this stuff is hard. People are hurting, and some parts of the world seem like it's in a mess, and yet you could make it funny, and yet it's important to make it funny, right?
I think most comedians have a boogeyman killer ray that aims at terrifying things with humor and shrinks it, like mockery shrinks a thing. If I can laugh at the devil, I made him pocket size, you know? You don't laugh at things that are gigantic. You just run for your life. But laughing, it's it just takes the process and puts it in your hands, and you reduce the size of the ha 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 ha, and you shrink it down. And it's like Gilbert Gottfried's horror defense mechanism made that joke after 9/11 at the roast that became the opening piece of the Aristocrats film, you know, of how he, and this is how we deal with horror, is the shrinking ray. Humor reduces it. And so it puts a sigh of relief into a terrifying thing to see that someone, all right, someone's making fun of it. And once something's being made fun of, maybe it's not so scary. Because it's the thing you can't make fun of that's the scariest.
I can't think of anybody better to talk about these things than you because of where you've been with the A-listers and quote-unquote the A-listers and throughout the world and the big movies and the big TV shows and all of that. So you know a lot that most people wouldn't know. So that's why I think it's important for people like, this guy knows something. Listen.
I observe things, and I change them when I see them change. And I try to stick jokes on them as I see them go by. And it's like someone asked you to go outside and tell me what it's like, and come back in. I try to do the funny version of what I just saw. But it's just what I see, and it filters through the way my mind works and the way my gut opens up to a situation, uses a gut instinct to suss it like a dog, you know? Has it got a right or a wrong to it? What's it got, you know? Is it good or bad? And then try to stick words to it.
What we see here, I know, is what people get. Because you tell it like it is, whether you're being interviewed, whether we're actually sitting across the table at a restaurant or
the counter,
the counter or at on the stage, and like I said, I can't wait to see you. And when's your next show, actually? Okay, well
so we got to line up another show there. I just did one last night at Vitello's.
I know,
but I crushed it at Vitello's. Everyone did. Wendy Liebman's genius. And anyway,
yeah.
So
another, because I know you're out of town a lot. So, but in any event, so what you tell it like it is. So what they'll get this when they come see you live.
Not like we're sitting.
But no.
They don't get us like sitting on the sofa talking when I'm doing live. I'll do an act I worked on with jokes, and I'll do a little improv too. But and not all of this philosophy will go in the whole time, but I hint at it all the time. I talk about how, you know, we love our cell phones because it's lit and everything alive loves everything lit. It's the reason the audience is looking at me, because I'm well lit, you're not. That's how religion does it. Stay in the light, keep you in the dark, and then it would roll into a thing, you know. But it's about, I want to hit primal things like how we're wired to worship light, and that's how TV got to us. TV used the early primitive spot that worships anything that's lit.
Wow.
Like a god. And he says, oh, God's talking, shut up. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. What's that early mechanism triggered by a modern thing?
Kind of like the burning bush, the burning tubes.
Yeah, look at this. It's lit. Will you notice? It's notice. It says notice it, and it all comes from sun worship.
Are we really that silly?
Well, it's genetic from sun worship. That was the first lit thing that fixed all our problems.
Oh, amazing.
Truly.
And fire. Sure.
And the first god. It was the first god. Was Ray. Sun Ray. As they pronounce it, Americans call it Ra. Okay. But an Egyptian guy told me it's Ray.
Okay. Then it came cathode Ray.
Cathode, and then Nuvicon, which you could name it the sun. It would burn out. Showing your age too now.
Well done.
Early video, like the Gleason show. Anyway, yeah. So I think we have a new kind of light coming in. It's gonna, as long as we do respond to light. Evidently, we do. Bugs will die for it, you know. So a lot of everything jumps at light, I think there's a new and bigger light than the TV. There's a light of a human light. The living light's coming through and is shining brighter than TV, and TV never planned on that happening. Certainly TV news never did, and it's occurring anyway. Lots of things are occurring anyway right now. Lots of things weren't planned for, and everyone who had plans and don't know how to improv, sit tight, be nice to us, and I'll show you how to improvise. If you're nice, you say you behave, and I'll show you. But your version of plans, those are over.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a lot of control freaks having to let go all at once right now. We're watching it happen. We're watching it happen right now. We don't even know it because it's right under our noses. So many things are not going the way they planned right now. It's already over.
Look at that smile on his face.
Right?
You know, I mean, and rightly, it's well-deserved.
You know what you can call psychic? Law of averages plus taking notes looking for patterns. If you want to just call that for a conscious mind, just conscious, you want to call that psychic, those are the two things you use scientifically to make a psychic prediction.
A psychic.
Law of averages against what the patterns are. That's your mathematical route to it.
I kind of feel, Mark, what's that, you know, like in a football game when there's the guy who knows all the positions,
yeah,
and blah, 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 and then
on the chalkboard.
And finally bring him in. And,
yeah,
and here you are. You're coming in after having done all this stuff, and you're like, all right, we got this.
Yeah, we're not out of the woods completely, but there's so much on our side that I refuse to be depressed or glum or, you know, or any of the things that I'm told I should feel or be
afraid.
Now, or worried.
Yeah.
Someone's drinking my fear like a cocktail, and you're cut off as far as my bar is concerned.
Hmm.
No more for you. That's how the vamp, oh, man, it's like a bully. Never give a bully what they want, ever, kids. Kids, never, ever, 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 ever give a bully what they want because they are a vampire. And once they start drinking your fear, they will never let go. Do anything to not do that.
Mm.
Remember this. Oh, how I wish I could time travel back and tell me. But here's me telling you, and take the advice.
Wow. Laugh it away.
Do anything. Just never give a bully what they want, ever. Because once they know, they latched on. That's it. Fangs are in. It'll never stop. We are unfanging from our culture, our bully culture, the one that wants you afraid, the one that drinks your fear. That one is dying. It's starving to death by people being enlightened and unhitching. And that's from people being less afraid. You are less afraid when you know more. You know more when you studied it on the internet and you found out. And you improvised to do it because no one told you to.
You have he's cool coming to you about you.
Yeah. At least one.
No, I don't mean
scraggly,
just
scraggly old bald dude.
You're cool.
Well, you're cool. Thank you. We're all cool. Damn it. The fact that we're having this talk is cool.
This is cool.
So true.
This is pretty cool. Yeah. Everyone listening in is cool. How about that?
Well, selfishly, I hope I get to see you before the 26th, whether on stage or at the counter or someplace. But you're happily going to be with us at the Hollywood Improv, the famous Hollywood Improv.
Yeah.
You know it very well. Rick has been there many times.
I'm not going to do all the material for that night here today. That's what I'm just talking about,
because
you got to come see the show, which is the whole point, guys.
September 26th from 11 a.m. to 4. And all the information on how to get tickets and all that, you can go to improvmoment.com, improvmoment.com. Or you can go to just lifechangesshow.com and click on the improv workshop. So it's going to be very special, but having you there, it just really takes it over the top. And
it's my honor and pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to be a part.
It's our honor and pleasure, and you're welcome. And having you here just really takes it over to the top. I can't imagine leaving with any better message than what he just gave about bullies. I mean, that's if I had known, I could have been a contender.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
now I sound like Nixon again.
And don't hate the bully. Don't use any energy like kidding. That. Just don't do it, because that's what made them them. Because that thing's a car thief, and it'll jump from him right onto you. It can't wait for you to hate. He'll go, okay, this guy's done. I'll let him die, and I'll jump to the next guy. Mm-hmm. And it'll just ride you then for a while, crash you into a wall. So don't do it that way. But all I'm saying is you can do all of that. You can be strong as hell. You can look someone in the face and say, no, no, that's it. We're done. And not have any hate behind it. Because you love how cool it was when you did it. And that's all you need. Just love something and use love somewhere in there, and you're unhitched. There's little shortcuts Uncle Rick will show you along the way. But I talk to the kids a lot about stuff like this, and that's what I want you to know about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, anti-bullying stuff. A lot of it, yeah. But the shortcuts to get out of it.
Good for you.
Comedians know about this stuff. That's why we're comedians.
Well, sure, you need it on stage.
Oh,
with,
heck yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And improv comes into that because every bully is different. So in that moment.
Yeah, there's some differences, but there's a lot of similarities. Mm. And we'll get into that another time. Thank you again.
Thank you, Rick Overton. And when we come back again, Corey Pezzaturo and Matthias Metzke, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
And we're back. And as if this hasn't been a fun show already, we finally got Corey Pezzaturo in the studio and his accordion at the same time, actually. And we actually had tried this once before, and there was a big storm, and he had to go across the country back home this winter. And so finally he was back in town because he's now doing a lot of work with the films, and he's in the studio with us. And not only that, he's brought a friend with him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, welcome, Corey, to the studio.
Thank you for having me, Filippo.
It's been a pleasure. We've talked about it for so long.
We have.
I have known you since, okay, come on, how old were you?
I was 12. I was going to say about 12,
12
when I started
right?
playing at Ava's, yeah.
Right? He stands up on stage in front of 6,000 people and just starts to play this, totally wows the audience. As a matter of fact, were you 9 years old when you won the National Accordion?
No, I was 12.
You were 12.
I started when I was 9.
Oh, yeah. so there you go. Okay, yeah. So at 12 you won the National Accordion Championship, and then you went off to win championship after championship, international. Seriously, what you were probably the most decorated young accordionist in the world.
In America, I wouldn't say the world, but. America.
But definitely America. But
yeah.
Well, that's because nobody plays the accordion.
Nobody plays it. Exactly. Exactly. Of course.
I'm sorry.
It's statistics. It's what it is.
But no, it's not true because you have won awards throughout the world.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I retired after my last world championship. You
retired from competition?
Oh, retired, yes. I get my cane and three-wheel scooter now. I'm retired.
What you got was this accordion. This is like the most fancy accordion that I've ever seen, for sure. This was made for you, right?
No. Well, the skin was made for me because I wanted to always skin my accordion. And, well, which accordion? I have many accordions. All accordionists have many accordions. And I was trying to find a company. And you can see this
one
online. I know it's a radio show. You can definitely see it online. The flamed accordion.
It looks like a speedboat.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wanted to find someone that would attempt to skin this. And every company said, we do iPhones and iPads. What would you like? And I said, you are not going to be able to do this. So I went to one of my many hobbies, the racing world, and found a company in L.A., or as I would call L.A., it's Irvine, but that to me is still L.A. And they skinned the accordion, and they said that was so hard, we never want to do it again.
This is because he's from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, exactly.
And right. So he thinks Irvine and Los Angeles
Santa
are the
Barbara,
same
Irvine,
thing.
Canyon
it's,
County,
it's
all
the
LA.
Same thing. And it is one of the, probably most, one of the most expensive accordion. I mean, it does everything. I mean, we've been playing around, listening to all this stuff that this
got
is
lights.
Not.
We got the lights in here as well.
This is the lights.
Oh yeah, there's lights in here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now I've seen smoke come out of it. Is that just because you're doing it so fast,
no,
or is that?
I know pyrotechnics is my next.
So I have to ask you, why did you pick up the accordion?
Because, and you know, my dad played, and when I was 9, he decided that. You know, hey, you want to play accordion? I used to play accordion. I played, okay. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll play accordion. I didn't think about, you know, the accordion's extremely unpopular. I was just like, yeah, I'll play accordion, whatever.
It's so. No longer extremely unpopular.
No,
it's,
no,
it's very popular.
It's
now.
Coming back. It is coming back.
You're bringing it back.
I'm trying.
Okay, yeah. Well, you walk around with that thing. It's, you have to, we'll have to take a picture with it.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll have to have it in the picture.
And we got, yeah. Okay. Sure. So, you know, and another thing I have to say about you is I remember you being very tenacious, and you went and introduced yourself. You introduced yourself to me. You introduced yourself to people. Hi, I'm Corey Pizzaduro. And then you da 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 da. You know, you play something. You want to hear a waltz? What do you want to hear? I'm serious. You walked around the whole place with this accordion.
I don't remember this.
Come on. All right. At Milwaukee.
I was on stage in Milwaukee. Yes, that was 2007,
well.
I think. Yeah.
Wow, I don't even remember.
Yeah,
but
that I remember.
I'm on stage, and so you asked to come on my show
and
play the accordion. I'm like, okay, come on my show and play the accordion. And someplace else, too. I got to hand it to you. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you.
I'm proud. You grew up to be a nice boy.
A nice boy. A nice Italian boy.
And all you need is a nice girl.
Exactly. From Italia.
All right. So the accordion, obviously, you got to travel, you got to perform and still do, and you get to perform in the movies.
This is
record.
My ticket to the world, really.
Yeah, you get into all kinds of stuff. So it's changed your life.
Oh, totally. Totally. It's
in a good way.
In a very good way. In a very good way. Although I wouldn't have thought that at 14, 15, 16. I kept doing it because I knew I was talented at it, so it would be a waste to quit. But then I found jazz, and then I also, you know, started traveling a lot. And then I, of course, no, I love it. It's my life.
And classical as well.
Yeah. Well, you got to start on classical. Even in the accordion competitions, you know, they do transcriptions of classical music.
Wow.
So.
What are we going to hear, Maestro Corey Pizzaduro?
Okay, well, I'll do a little mix of starting with something you would expect to hear from an accordion. I'll do a little French ditty here, and then go into some non-accordion sounds that you would not expect to hear in the accordion.
Oh, like a mashup?
A little mashup, and then I'll make up some dance kind of thing at the end.
You're going to dance?
Well, you guys could dance.
Okay.
If anybody wants to pick a key, please do, and I'll make it up to that. You know,
you're there's not going to be no dancing if it's up.
Yeah,
to
as well, that's so, okay.
I mean, you you're looking down at the accordion. I know you're not shy. So, what is there a little screen there you're looking at?
Yes, it gives me stock updates and the weather. And
are you serious?
No, of course. I probably could link it up to that, but no, it just tells me kind of what sounds I'm on and different things.
Wow. So, okay, so this is not you're not your average player. This is not an average accordion, and now we're going to hear a mashup by Corey Pizzaduro on the Life Changes show.
Okay, let's see. We'll be right back.
Pezzaturo, music
mash,
man,
mash, yeah.
Making the accordion cool. Seriously. I mean, you know, let's first give out your website, and then I have to say something else. So, CoreyPezzaturo.com, and of course everybody can spell that.
Everybody.
Actually, have you got cpez.com yet?
I do have it. Yeah,
do you have it?
I got to change.
You got to link
when
it.
I make my new site into that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
Because
yeah.
He goes by Pez.
Easier than, well, it's on the accordion, Cepez.
Yeah.
It's easier than Pezzaturo.
But anyway, so Pezzaturo. Corey is C-O-R-Y. Mm-hmm. Pezzaturo is P-E-S-A-T-U-R-O.
Pezzaturo.
Pezzaturo.com. CoreyPezzaturo.com. So you were on the David Letterman. I mean, you've been on so many things, but I remember... You were posting
with Johnny
about,
Depp. Yes.
With Johnny Depp. Yeah. I mean, how cool is that?
He's a very cool guy.
Yeah. Well, evidently so are you. and David Letterman, which doesn't even exist anymore. So cool is that?
Now I'd say, yeah, remember the David Letterman
show. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I give him a compliment. And then I do remember at some other event, you played accordion. We were somewhere, and Jada and I were dancing to something you were playing, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
Anyway, and since we have mentioned the Sergio Franchi, I should give a shout out. Unfortunately, Corey won't be there this year.
No, I'm usually always there.
Otherwise, we would have got him on stage again. I mean, to perform with me, and that'll be this Saturday or next Saturday, the 29th of August, and you can go to SergioFranchi.com. Franchi is FRANCHI.com. Now, you know, I was saying that we were looking forward to having you this winter, and then you weren't able to come in because of this storm.
I had to get back because I'm a snow nut. Another hobby.
Well, you're not only a snow nut, you're a car aficionado.
Big time,
Yeah, like maybe, like, you're even more
passionate so than the musician, I know. And the weather is almost more so than the accordion.
Wow.
I know. A lot of hobbies, too.
When are we going to see the accordion car?
With the bellows in the middle. It would not handle very well, I'll tell you that much.
Tight turns.
But it was meant to be because here you are now in town, and it just so happens that you have a fellow accordion player who's came in from Germany last night.
Yeah, last night.
And this is his first time in America.
Yes.
He's also a many times world champion.
Two-time digital, which I'm playing a digital accordion. He's actually got the acoustic accordion, the more normal accordion. He has two world championships on one of these.
On the digital.
Wow.
And so because you're now here and he came in just last night.
Yeah, we're playing a festival in San Francisco this weekend. So we're going to drive up.
How fun is
I
that?
I know. He's going to see all of California. He's going to love California. Amazing. Go back to Germany.
And so not only did he come in last night, and this is the first time in America, the next, you know, within 24 hours, he's on a radio show.
I know. He thinks he's famous.
Not a bad start,
and
too.
He is Matthias Matzke.
Hey.
Close?
Right.
No, come on.
Oh, no, right on. Right on. It's
really?
Pretty. 98%.
Okay. That's what I strive for. 98%.
That's pretty good.
So, what? Tell me about you. You're really German. I mean,
yeah.
No,
made in Germany.
No, what I mean is, like, that's where, you know, the accordion is big still.
Oh, very big.
Yeah.
It is actually big. I come from Trossingen, which is a town in South Germany, and they've got the Hohner factory there. Hohner is one of the most
accordion
famous
playing,
accordion
yeah.
brands, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with the accordion, I studied jazz accordion, and now I'm here in the USA to prove myself.
Well, you're here in the USA to help Corey make it cool. Because Corey's been doing it all on his own here, and although we all know some great famous accordion players that have done some great things,
of
and
course.
You know, much love and respect to them, and right. we've worked with many of them. But now this is the next generation. Although Matthias, you're much younger than Corey at this point, right?
Let's say Corey is much older. Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, you two
Matthias
are friends.
Matthias is 22. He's 22.
And you're 23, so wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we get to hear something of the two of you together, right?
Yeah, which we never, I mean, we what you saw before the show started was pretty much the most we have ever sat down and attempted to play. Because we competed against each other 4 years ago when I won the acoustic.
When you won.
Right, when
Say
I won
that
the acoustic.
Again. When you won.
When I won the acoustic. That was the time when everybody around the world said, Corey Pesatoro, he can't play acoustic. He only plays digital. I said, oh, okay. So I went and won a world acoustic championship.
Wow.
And he was like unknown at that. He was, you were 18, right, at that point still.
Yes.
And he got third. So he was like, who's this new kid? So... You know, and we became very close at that point. So,
and here the kids are right here in our studio at Studio Noho.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear, I don't mean the kids, but those kids from, all
we'll
right,
take
whatever.
It. We'll take
so
it.
So Corey and Matthias, yeah. What are we going to hear?
Well, everybody in L.A., you know, knows, if you know anything about the accordion players, Frank Morocco is the
yes.
legend of Los Angeles.
Yes.
And
the reason is because he played on every
everything
movie.
For years
every
and years.
TV show
and we did you ever meet Frank?
Unfortunately
no. didn't. I only met him about 4 or 5 times, which I feel like is nowhere near enough, and he was super wonderful to me. But people in Europe know his music, and Matthias pulled out this tune, so we're going to
I have
do
to correct
that.
You on that. It's Matthias.
I
and
keep going Matthias.
Point for him.
Score is 2-0, Filippo. So there you go.
All right. So Corey and I have known each other a long time.
Oh yeah.
Does this song have a name?
It's Samba Italiano.
Samba Italiano. Yeah, see, you're Italian. We've been doing
Frank
Italian.
Frank Morocco. Okay,
si.
Well, here is, hold on, let me say it, Corey Pesatoro and Matthias Matzke with Samba Italiano on the Life Changes Show. Thank you. Look at you two laughing. Boy, the way you two were sparring with those accordions. I haven't seen anything like that.
So much fun.
That's so great. Well, I have to tell you, you talk about it's not popular with women. I beg to differ. There are two beautiful women on the other side of that glass that are part of three. Sorry, excuse me, three. Our executive producer, Dorothy, is sitting right there.
So let's play the song again. We can do it twice as well. Now that we know.
You had them on the edge of their seat. I saw, as soon as the music started, I saw them move forward. And so what I'd like to do is invite them into the studio so they could see it live, because we get to hear another piece, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Perfect. They're going to sit right here, and you'll see exactly. Is this fun or what?
Oh, we could play an hour.
Biggest fun.
You like America now, don't you? Yeah.
I do.
Welcome. And so... and you too, because you don't really live in America. You live in Rhode Island.
Yeah, which is not America.
Not
that L.A. is America.
What do we get to hear next?
We're going to do, I would say, the most popular tune around the world. If you get a
Beer
bunch...
Bell Polka?
No. This is a tune where if you get a bunch of really good musicians around together, no matter what country you're in, this tune, everybody knows for sure. Even right now, I was like, wait, do you know Chardas? Yeah, I know Chardas. Everybody knows Chardas.
Charda?
It's Chardash.
Chardash?
Yeah, Chardash.
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 Okay, is that Hungarian? Greek? What is that?
It's by in Italian, though.
Oh, that's the one. Okay, that's
Monti.
It's by an Italian.
Vittorio Monti.
Vittorio Monti si. Wrote Chardage.
Chardage.
It sounds...
It's a crowd pleaser. Don't worry.
No, I'm not worried. I'm not with you two. I'm not worried. Here's Corey Pezzaturo and Matthias Matzki. Am I getting better or worse?
You're at 94% now. Matzki.
98.5.
You guys can hold up the tens and nines.
Playing Chardash here on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. Wow.
These two have never played together before.
No, we really haven't. I mean, only just, against
only against. That's
against
right.
Each other.
That's right. Yeah. Only against each other.
We try to avoid this now.
In competition. That's right.
It's on YouTube as well.
And now I want to see the tour.
Yeah,
I want to see the tour. Corey Pesaturo and Matthias Matsky.
Oh, damn. Hey! No, it's 80%.
Thank you so much. Ladies, what'd you think?
It's awesome. Very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so much fun. Corey, thank you so much for, I'm glad it finally happened.
It finally happened. There wasn't a snowstorm I had to run back from.
And may it happen some more. And with you as well, Matthias, this has been fantastic. I'd love to get you in front of a live audience one of these days. I mean, of course, that's what you do all the time, but...
we need the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay, there it is. Okay.
Where's your connection?
So it was set here first. All right. Well, with that, I'd like to thank our guest, Rick Overton. What a great show this has been. What a great show. And our musical guest, Corey Pesaturo, and surprise guest... musical guest, Matthias Matsky. Thank you both so much. I am Filippo Voltaggio reminding you, as your life changes, as mine just did, ours just did, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.